I'm Lori Kennedy, mom and CEO of the Wellness Business Hub, and in 1999, I made a decision to enter into the health and fitness world, and that's where I've stayed. I went from being a personal trainer to a registered holistic nutritionist, and now I am the proud founder and CEO of our global community of practitioners, coaches, and fit pros, and our multi-million dollar company at the Wellness Business Hub. The best part about all of this is that I never had a business plan or any formal business, financial, marketing, or sales background. As I've taken massive imperfect action to grow my company, I realized that an important part of growing and scaling is about figuring out how to become more of who I am meant to be, in addition to all of the business stuff required to hit my goals. And as I've grown both personally and professionally, I developed a deep sense of responsibility to pass on the experiences, strategies, and lessons to you. So each week, I'll share empowering, practical, and tangible episodes that gives you the steps to take to become more of who you are meant to be so that you can build the business and life of your dreams all on your own terms. This is the Business of Becoming podcast. Well, hello there, and welcome back to the Business of Becoming podcast Millionaire Mindset Series. I'm your host, Lori Kennedy, and this is episode 187. And oh my goodness, I absolutely loved talking with Shireen. She really delivered, and you are going to take so many notes during this episode. One of the things we talked about is self-talk and self-image and how she realized she was doing this and how she stopped the negativity of it for the most part. We also talked about what to do when you lose your motivation. Shireen is an award-winning corporate trainer, international speaker, and the host of the Path to Partnership Lawyers Summit. She has trained employees in Fortune 500 companies, universities, government agencies, healthcare facilities, and law firms. Corporate employees and organizations across Canada and the United States and England and Scotland and Ireland and Australia have benefited from her leadership guidance and communication expertise. She has a proven track record for igniting and motivating innovative leaders. Her gift for delivering powerful, exciting, and encouraging seminars has been described as exhilarating and life-changing. This podcast will do that for you too. This episode was so good. So without further ado, please bring Shireen to the show. Welcome back, everybody. I am thrilled to have Shireen here, and we are going to dive into a conversation that her and I sort of had been having in our Facebook Messenger just about leveling up and what that looks like and how to, you know, give yourself permission to stop playing small and dream a bigger vision for yourself. So before we dive in, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lori. I'm happy to be here.
And why don't we start off? I gave your sort of professional bio in the intro, but maybe just, you know, give us a little bit of the inside scoop as to, you know, what you're doing, what you're working on, and all that good stuff.
Okay, no problem. First of all, I'm a corporate trainer, and I've been a corporate trainer now for about 20 years. And I didn't start out as a corporate trainer. I actually worked as a corporate employee in many different industries and so forth. And I remember one day, it was interesting, my boss, this was my very first job out of university. She was giving me my performance review. And she sat behind her big oak desk. Yeah, and she had her bifocals. Weird. You know those bifocals where you can look very condescendingly down at the person?
Yes.
And she said to me, "You know, Shireen, you must remember, you are low man on the totem here." And I thought, that's what she thinks of my job. And it was really the very first example I had of a manager who didn't know how to make someone feel good about the job that they were doing. But it was also my very first example as to the reason why I didn't want to work for somebody else. But I still stayed in the corporate world for another 15 years or so. And I'll tell you, it taught me an awful lot about wanting to be an entrepreneur, denying it. Even though I was working for someone else, I had a side hustle. I always had a business on the side because I knew that deep down, that's what I wanted to do. My father was an entrepreneur, and they say that children of entrepreneurs usually end up being entrepreneurs.
Right.
And when I finally decided to make that plunge, and it was my very last corporate job, where I remember it was a manager that I put him on hold, and he told me that he was not going to be put on hold by someone who was in my position. And I said, that's it. That's it. That is the last time. And so I decided, made a very strategic career decision. I had decided that, okay, this is it. I'm going to start my own business. And I was always told, people said, you know, you have a real skill, Shireen, for speaking in public. You know, and people tell you this and you hear this all the time. And these are the times that people, you have to be very aware when people start to tell you, you should be, why don't you? Or they say, Lori, you're so good at, you know, have you ever thought of, pay attention to those times, because that's a confirmation of the thing that you need to be doing that you're denying yourself.
Yeah.
And I was denying myself that time, that I was actually to myself that ability to move out on my own and actually do what I was meant to do, stand up in front of a crowd and speak in public.
Yeah.
So,
and you know what's so interesting about that? It's like we all go to school for something. And then it's this natural sort of innate ability that you're building a business around. Right. So it's a really interesting, let's like, cause nobody, no, at least for me, I shouldn't say nobody, I shouldn't generalize, but like, at least for me, nobody was like, hey, what do you really enjoy that comes very natural to you? And, you know, and so had I followed that sort of rule of thumb versus you must go be a teacher, you must go be a this, you must go be a that. Right.
Exactly.
And I that's what guidance is a lot happier.
Yes. And you know, when you're in high school, that's what guidance counselors are taught to do, to find out what are your natural skill and what do you want to do, so you end up in university or college or wherever you want to go. But you know, it takes a while to figure that out. It really does. And you're going to have several iterations of your career. Don't be afraid of that. You're going to try some things and fail, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is to always, always be listening. Be listening to your intuition. Be listening to what the universe has to tell you. God, whatever you believe in, I believe in God personally, what you are receiving, because that's your guidance as to what you should be doing.
Yeah. And one of the things that you and I were chatting about was this concept that women specifically don't give themselves permission to dream a bigger dream. And I was actually scripting a video this morning about permission to dream a bigger dream, like genuine permission. And I know that I needed that. Like I needed someone to say to me, you are allowed to have an abundant life. You are allowed to be wealthy. You are allowed to have all of these things. You are allowed to have the success that you quietly are dreaming about. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess it's, you know, we have to go back to how women are raised and taught to be. Women are actually taught to put themselves down. Don't play up your strengths. Don't highlight yourself. You know, you always remember that girl in high school who used to walk through this hall and she'd swing your hair and she was popular, maybe very pretty and maybe the cheerleader. And everybody said, oh, don't be like her. She's so conceited.
Right.
And then what happens is that we play down our strengths. We play down what makes us us. And then we start to play inch by inch. We start to play a smaller game.
Yes.
And women actually give each other brownie points for putting yourself down. You'll have a group of women together and one will say, oh my God, I just took my stupid pills today. Can you imagine what I did? And all the other women will commiserate and say, oh my God, yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Yes.
And then it reinforces in our minds, oh, if I put myself down, if I use self-deprecating humor, whatever, I get brownie points. People will like me. I won't be a threat to other women. And that's a huge, huge problem. And Lori, it wasn't until I was at a conference once and a coach actually walked up to me, and I don't know whether this is her selling point, but or her marketing tactic that she used. But all I know is that it was, we call it a rhema word, when someone says something to you that really strikes to you the core of your spirit. And she said, you're playing too small a game. You're playing too small in your business. Mm. And I always knew that, but it was when she told me that, that was when I went, oh, oh no, this has got to change. When somebody confirms it for you, and that's my personality type. It's when you tell me something, I will. That it's not that I'm defiant, but I find it as a challenge.
Yes,
and that became my challenge to say, okay, Shireen, you have to up your game, and you got to play a bigger game.
Yeah.
And that's why it's really important to learn from other women. I cannot tell you, Lori, it's you are going to be faced with discrimination as a woman. And it was Shirley Chisholm. She was the very first Black woman to be elected in Congress. And she said that I have been faced with more discrimination from my gender than I have my race. And you know that right now we're in a whole huge conversation in the United States and elsewhere about race. But you notice that we had a Black president before we had a female president.
Yep.
So just to let you know, there's way more discrimination against women. And sometimes women do this to themselves. I'll never forget watching. It was The Daily Show, and they were interviewing one of a supporter of a political party. And the woman said, well, I'm not supporting Hillary because a president is it's a man's job. This is a woman saying this. She said, it's a man's job. She's, when I think about president, I think about a man. And I said, I can't believe that this is a woman actually saying this.
Yeah.
And she said, well, if Hillary gets in, she's going to start a war. And of course, this is a comedy show. So he said, but you realize that all wars have been started by men. And she just had that deer in the headlights sort of look.
Right. What comeback is there for that?
Exactly. Yeah. But it's also women denying themselves to actually see themselves in those positions.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because when I think of my own sort of upper limit problems, the fear is always around the other women. I don't care what men think of me. I don't care at all. Right? It's always, am I going to be judged as conceited? Am I going to be judged as who do I think I am? It's always by the women. It's my consideration is never towards the men because they don't operate like that. They'll be like, good for you, girl, you go, like, good, do this, hustle more, work harder. And the women are always like, you know, a perfect example is I go to bed at 10 o'clock. I don't care where I am or whatever. My son plays hockey and there's tournaments and I get called a grandma. Right? They're like, you're such a grandma. Like, why can't you stay out? Why can't you party? Why can't you this? Why can't you that? And I used to stay up at the beginning, like a couple years ago when I first met these women and we were, you know, whatever, new and everything. And now I'm like, because this is who I am and this is what I do. And I go to bed at 10 because I wake up at 5 because that's how I have my best days. And it took years, as an example, to like not feel like I had to, put aside my own boundaries for these other women.
Absolutely. And these women who are in, I guess, in turn, you're suppressing you.
Yes.
You know, and you can call it jealousy, you can call it competition, whatever you want. But men simply don't operate like that.
No.
And we have to, and what's really good is that women can be supportive. They can be supportive, but sometimes it's just, they'll be supportive if they know that woman is not in competition with them.
Yeah.
And men really don't fear competition. They actually welcome it because they play competitive sports. They're, you know, we play sports where it's cooperative or it's solo sports. We do gymnastics. You know, we make sure if you see little girls playing with a ball, they'll kick the ball.
You
have a turn and you have a turn. They share. Men don't share the ball.
Yes.
And so that's why when we get to the point where we can say, guess what? It is okay to compete and that there is enough abundance in this world for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how I operate.
Same, absolutely. And one of the questions, when I put this out to my community, you know, one of the most common questions I got was, what do you do when you lose your motivation? What do you do when you're tired? What do you do maybe when the business isn't going well and you're sort of in that slump? You know, what do you do in that space where you're trying to, you know, motivate yourself?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. And there's two key things you want to do. Number one is get to know what's your success motivator. And I can recommend a book that has just opened up my eyes to goal setting and who you are as a person, what really spurs you on, and what is the driving force behind you. And it's called Succeed. Succeed is how we can reach our goals by Heidi Halvorsen. Halvorsen, or she goes by Heidi Grant. I believe she's now divorced, but she is a Harvard professor, but this is not written like a dissertation. It's not boring at all. It's an excellent read. But we have certain motivators. Now, the one in particular that struck me is one called prevention and promotion. We have prevention and promotion goals. So a promotion goals would be, I would like to make six figures in my business by December 2021 or 2020, whenever. And so that is, you're working towards something, but there's also something called prevention goals, where you're moving away from pain, where you're trying to avoid something from happening.
Yes.
So I want to make six figures in my business so that there's ever an economic downturn, I will have enough money to take care of myself and to survive that economic downturn. That is a prevention goal. Prior to reading this book, had you asked me, Shereen, what are your goals? Are they promotion and prevention? I would have said, Lori, of course they're promotion goals. I know where I want to be and what I want to do. After reading this book, I realized that most of my goals, what was really the motivator behind it, was prevention, was trying to prevent something from happening, was trying to move away from pain rather than moving towards pleasure.
Yes.
And it was a real eye-opener for me. So now, whenever I lack that motivation to actually sit down and do the hard things in my business, pick up the phone and call a client. Well, I think, Shereen, if you don't call this client, you won't get the account. Yes. Rather than, oh my God, I'm going to get this six-figure account. I'm going to get this large company. Yes. No, that wasn't the real motivator. The real motivator was losing it to somebody else.
Yeah.
That. So when you really understand you and what motivates you, then you can put those things in place that the time that you feel as if, oh, I can't do this, the feel as if, oh, I'm going to get past this, you will know exactly how to structure goals and exactly how to work with your mind to get yourself moving. The second thing that I want to make sure that everybody really, you can take this with you. Get into a mastermind group. Get into a group with other people. It could be other people who do what you do, or it could be a mixture, whatever. It could be women if you want to be women. The mastermind group that I found was just women, because I went to a conference and I met these women and I decided that, you know, we came together and we've been together for 3 years now.
Amazing.
What happens is that I remember last year I was going through a funk. I really was. And I'm not going to lie to you. I had seen an ex-boyfriend of mine and, you know, he was married, he had children. And I said, well, you're not married, you don't have children, you know, because I put everything into my business. And what I was focused on, all the things I didn't have, instead of looking at all the things I did have.
Yeah.
All the skills, all the clients, the business, the friends, the you know, the accomplishments. So when we get into those moments, you need someone to pull you out of it, because you can stay in that funk for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And that's what my mastermind group did. They said, you know what? I did my checking and I said, that's it, I'm complete. And they said, no, something is wrong. What's wrong? And I finally told them. And then they started to reveal things about how they felt at a certain time of their life and realized that everybody goes through these things.
Yeah.
But the measure of a person is how you get yourself out of it.
Yeah.
That's the key. And that's what makes a difference. It's not that you get into it, because we all do, but it's how you get out. And you're going to get out as a stronger, better person. So keep a gratitude journal. That's the other thing that I want to tell you, is that was the best thing I've ever done, because it was, can't remember her name, but she was the woman who did The Secret.
Okay.
She was one that brought all the speakers together. And I think you can get it online for free as a PDF. But it's all about writing a gratitude journal. And the times that you get down, go through that gratitude journal and find all the times that you have been blessed, all the times that you have overcome. And all of a sudden you think, wait a minute, I was in a much worse shape before and I got out of it. This is nothing.
Yeah.
So those are the three things I would highly recommend that you do in order to make sure that you're motivated and you stay that way.
Yeah, because, you know, as we all know, it's great when you're, you know, on the upswing of the business, you know,
absolutely,
and you're happy and everything is roses and you're sort of riding the wave, but that only comes after the climb, right? You don't get to that level of enjoyment first. So it's like, you know, you have to have these tools. This has been my experience. I had to sort of accrue all of these tools to help me build resistance, to help me stay the course, because the climb is the struggle. The climb is the hard part. The climb lasts longer than the joy of being at the top of the mountain, because then you're like, oh, look, another mountain I want to climb.
Exactly.
You know, and then you're like, you stay there. And like most of us are somewhat achievement driven. So we're like, okay, cool. I did that. Great. Like we're not, you know, sitting in the achievement for too long, because it's just, I don't think it's in our nature. Right? We want to go and have more impact and sort of see that next level and see where we can go. And so I really appreciate you sharing these tools, because you call upon the tools, and the more you practice the tools, it's almost like the faster you can process through the funk.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm really glad that you mentioned that about reaching the pinnacle and feeling as if you're just there. We've all heard the saying, success is a journey. It's not a destination. And I heard that. And I said, yeah, that's right. Success is a journey. It's not a destination. But in my mind, it really hadn't become a part of who I was. I was always looking for that destination. And so, I can't even remember what it was that happened, but what I realized that I just came to this point in my life that says, wait a minute, as soon as I reached one level, it was always, you get this satisfaction. Yeah. You get this feeling where you start to complain about things, still start to irritate you. You hate your job. You can't stand your boss, because that's telling you that you've reached this level. You're done. You're ready to go further. And human beings, we are actually a progressive being. We don't stay the same. And we always want to try for something better. You know, when we invented the wheel, then we invented the carriage. And then when we had horses, then we invented cars, and we had the planes, and we wanted to go to the moon. Now we want to stay. We never stay the same. We're always looking at where else can I go? How far can I go? So when you get to the point where you've reached your destination, you feel, well, why am I dissatisfied? This is where I wanted to go. This is where I wanted to be. And that's why you find a lot of people who become successful, especially in Hollywood and actors and so forth. They say, wait a minute, I'm where I am, but I'm not happy. Yeah. Well, that's because there's another level that you're supposed to get, other goals. And if you don't realize that, you can get discouraged very quickly, because I see you said, I worked so hard to get here, and now I'm here, and you know, damn it, I'm not happy.
Right.
That's because there's another level for you.
Yeah.
And you just have to discover what that level is. So bear in mind that has to come. You've come to that realization that it is definitely a journey. You have never arrived, ever.
Yeah.
You've never arrived.
Right.
You're only going to get better and better and better.
Yeah. There's always that another growth level. And I think one of the things that was really helpful for me was I actually did the Strengths Finder, the Clifton.
Oh, good.
Whatever it's called, the Clifton thing. And
yeah,
my strongest strength is that of achievement. And so I think once you know, this sort of goes back to the beginning of our conversation, and it's like giving yourself permission to step outside of your comfort zone, giving yourself permission to dream a bigger dream, to have a bigger vision, to understand what motivates you and what drives you, so that you can have these tools and these strategies and a better understanding of how to get yourself to the next level without feeling like, oh, I've worked so hard. I should feel satisfied here. Why do I want more? You know, mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily the money per se. For me, it's always about living up to my truest potential.
Exactly. We think so much alike, Lori. It's unbelievable. We really do. Yes, exactly. My goal is to, I want to make sure that I use up every potential that I possibly have. Yes. And so my motto that I live by, and I write it in, you know, different journals and so forth, is the more I do, the more I can do. Mm-hmm. You know, as soon as you get past the fear of something new, and you do it, you realize, wait a minute, that wasn't as hard as what I thought it was going to be. And I did it. And now you're ready for the next challenge. So getting outside of your comfort zone, how do you do that? Well, you know what? I just saw it was Brian Moran. And I highly suggest that you also pick up this book. It's called The 12-Week Year.
Yep.
And it's all about, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with it. It's all about accelerating. Yeah. See, we do think alike. It's all about accelerating your results. Well, he did a diagram where he literally wrote, you drew a square, and here, actually, pardon me, I don't think it was him. Actually, this is how I did it. I drew a square of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And outside of that comfort zone, I wrote in all the things I wanted to do that I was fearful of doing. Because there's something magical about writing down the things that you fear. It takes the power away from it. And it doesn't seem so fearful once you look in and say, okay, well, this is all this is. You know, I remember the very first time that I had to speak in front of a very large audience, and it was about 400 people. And I thought to myself, I was so scared. I actually purposely wore high-heeled boots because I didn't want people to see that my legs were shaking. And before I got on stage, I thought to myself, and by the way, trainers and speakers were always nervous when we first start something. But right. And that's good because that means that you're up to your game.
Yeah.
And so what happened was that I said to myself, Shireen, all this is a seminar, but you have 400 people in there. That's all it is. And that's all I treated it as. And all of a sudden, I was making eye contact with the people in the room. You know, I did what I was supposed to, what I would normally do if it was 30, 40 people in the room. And so the more you do, the more you can do. So draw that diagram for yourself. A square, in the middle of the square is your comfort zone. Yeah. And then write all the things that you've already done. And write it in your comfort zone. And all the things that it's in your mind, it's on your goals list that you're going to do. And write that outside of your comfort zone. Take the power away from that fear.
Yeah, that is actually a really great actionable strategy, because there's so many women specifically that get to this place in their business. You know, let's say it's the first six figures, and what I've witnessed in myself and what I've witnessed in our clients, you know, six figures, you can basically get there by yourself. You don't need much help. Sure. And right. And then you sort of between the one and 300K mark is like, I'm kind of feeling like I'm struggling here, like I'm going to die a little bit, you know, and you bring on some help. And it's yeah. that comfort zone, at least that was my experience of being a one-woman show and having control. And like, I don't know that we think about growth and scaling in that mm-hmm. way. Like comfort zone is, I'm scared to do a Facebook Live, or I'm scared to speak in public. But when we're talking about growth, when we're talking about getting to the next level, those comfort zone things really, really change. Was that mm-hmm. your experience in the sense of yes. like when you first started to like, you mentioned you're doing your lawyer summit, you're having 30 people. Like that's mm-hmm. not a small amount of interviews, you know, like that's leveling up.
Right. The first one we did, it was 23 speakers. They included myself. This one I decided I'm going to make it 30 speakers. Because once you have the experience of doing one, it's much easier to get more speakers. And I just, you know, the outreach now, there's hardly anyone that I ask to speak who hasn't said no, to tell you the truth.
Right.
So I have an abundance now, but I purposely designed that. I said to myself, you know what? You have to have that confidence mm-hmm. in yourself. And this is what I absolutely love about men. Lori, I love how men have this incredible confidence that I wish that women had more of, because that's how we would think bigger. And I don't know if you've ever seen these YouTube videos. They're quite funny. They're my boyfriend or husband does my makeup tag. That's what they're called. So the idea about it is that you let your husband, your boyfriend do your makeup. You can't tell him what to do with the brushes or what the concealer is or anything. He has to guess. He has to figure it out for himself. Okay. Well, there was this one boyfriend who did his girlfriend's makeup, and I'm not kidding you. She looked like a clown. I mean, she looked at herself in the mirror and just gasped.
Yeah.
She looked like an absolute clown. And he leaned back and he observed, you know, his handiwork, and he said, that looks pretty good. And I thought, you have got to be kidding. Would you go out on the street with her looking like that? And she just had this look of horror on her face.
Yeah.
That's a sense of confidence, even when they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
They don't have a clue and it looks really bad. They think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's where, as a woman, we would second guess ourselves. And even in jobs, they have found that a man will apply for a job where he has 50% of the qualifications, and a woman will not apply for a job that she has 90% of the qualification because she doesn't have the 10%.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm so passionate, and I'm so glad that you're doing a series like this to give women the tools to think, you know what, just up your game. Just up your game. Yes, it's going to be scary, but just like Barbara Shear's book, you feel the fear and you do it anyway. And I'll never forget, her name was Pamela Harriman, and she was a donor for the Democratic Party, a very wealthy woman married to a billionaire, but she was Winston Churchill's daughter-in-law. And so during the war, He was her father-in-law, so she would chat with him. They would have late-night conversations, and she was only in her 20s. And it dawned on her that he would talk about some battle plans that they had, you know, to win the war and his fears. And then it dawned on her, oh my God, even powerful men have fear. They have doubts. But guess what? They just do it anyway.
Right.
And we have to get to that point.
Yeah.
So one of the best things that I have done is I read a lot of biographies, and I don't just read biographies about women. I read biographies about everybody. Men, white men, black women, Asian, doesn't matter. Jewish, I don't care. If they achieved a modicum of success, I want to know how they did it.
Yes.
And I want to know what some of the tools and what are the obstacles they overcame. And there was a woman, Dottie Waters, when she started speaking, she's a speaker. She started speaking in the 1950s, and she was introduced in the Rotary Club. And he basically said, the man who introduced her said, okay, everybody, let's listen up to what the little lady has to say to us today. That's how she was introduced. So now when I read her biography in the 1990s that I read her biography, it just reinforced with me that if I'd faced any discrimination because I'm a woman, it's nothing compared to what she faced.
Yeah.
And I have so much more opportunities than Dottie ever did that I would feel as if I would be a failure if I didn't take advantage of those opportunities that other women simply didn't have.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the biggest things for me, you know, if we circle back to this idea of masterminds and this idea of like surrounding yourself, right, with people who are playing a bigger game than you. And one of the things that did for me was it actually normalized success. So it didn't make it so scary. It didn't make it so yes. abstract. It didn't make it so unattainable. It didn't make it so arrogant. You know, it normalized
exactly.
success. It normalized concepts and ways of thinking and behaviors that I had not yet put in place, which I think when you're leveling up, you know, especially when you're going from like startup mode to then like scaling mode to then, you know, a beyond, whatever that looks like for you. If you don't surround yourself with people who are already playing a bigger game, my mantra is you can't model what you don't see.
Exactly.
So how are you ever supposed to grow if you don't put yourself in a position to learn what growth is?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why being in a mastermind is so important.
Yeah.
And making sure that you can read biographies and be inspired by other people's stories
yeah.
is that you do see that it is normal and you see that it's possible.
Yes.
You say, oh my God, this thing that I'm going after, I can do it. I mean, other women have done it. I can do it as well.
Yeah.
And so absolutely. One of the best things to do when you're around people, and then there's something called, this is something that you'll learn in the book, Succeed. It's called goal contagion. Goal contagion. When you're around people who are achieving their goals, somehow it's a contagion. You start to catch that fever.
Yeah.
You start to catch that whatever it is
yeah.
to push you forward.
Yeah.
And that's why I really want to emphasize that you cannot do this alone. You can have a business where you are the sole owner of that business, but to grow, to build, to motivate yourself and keep yourself going, you cannot do it alone. So you find Facebook groups where other people are like you. You find programs like your community. You find, you know, you create your own mastermind group or you join a mastermind group or whatever, but you need to have that support because honestly, in our mastermind group, there are things that, you know, when someone's checking in and they'll say, here's a challenge. And we give the person all these great ideas and they say, you know what? It's so funny because I can't understand why I can't do that for my own business.
Yeah.
And then they will in turn turn around and give you great ideas. But there's something about not being able to do that for your own business because you're too insular, you're too close to it, mm-hmm. and that you can't see outside of it. And so when you have other people around that goal contagion, I'm telling you, it is unbelievable how it works.
It's really true. And I think that it does come back to this concept of like normalizing it, right? Because you move from a place of like scarcity, fear, lack. I don't know if I can do this. to knowing that like everybody is sort of feeling those things or have felt them at one time. And the positive, especially if you're in the right mastermind where people are growth minded and they call you on your limiting beliefs.
Exactly.
You know, and then you can just, oh, that's a story I'm telling myself. That's not actually true. I remember, you know, my mentor asking me, why is that your goal? Like, why isn't it doubled? You know, and this just happened like a year and a half ago. And even still, he's like, well, if you've doubled revenue every year, why did you make this year not double? Mm-hmm. And I said, because the number feels too big.
Yes.
And he's like,
yes.
Oh, so you're going to play small now?
Yes, exactly.
And I was like, no, sir. You know,
exactly.
You know? And he's like, well, why didn't you choose that to be like, why didn't you want to double again? And I said, because it feels too big and I don't know that I can do it. And he said, well, that's not a reason not to.
That's right.
Like, okay, fine. And I know this, but this is why I pay somebody else to hold me accountable, because even at that level where we're talking multiple seven figures, you know, even at that level, I still felt that. Mm-hmm. I still felt like, oof, this next goal, that's big. It felt too big for me. And I needed someone to say, that's BS. That's in your head. It's not a truth.
Right. And that's the perfect example of to normalize that figure for you,
yes,
to make that figure doable. And so the first thing that, you know, one of the things that I highly suggest and that women work on is your money mindset. Work on your money mindset, because that is the first place where you're going to play small,
yeah,
is by thinking, I don't deserve this. I don't know if I can. Is that figure possible for me? You have to work on your money mindset. And that's, success is, once again, a journey. It's something that you have to go through. You have to figure out where your money blockages are. You know, when I was about 8 years old, I remember I was sent to the store. And back when I was 8 years old, I was given a $20 bill. Back then, $20 was a lot of money, right? Some people say, yeah, $20 is still a lot of money.
Yeah.
It was a lot of money. But in between my house and the store, I lost the money. And I remember when I came home, it wasn't even my mom's money. It was a cousin's. And she was so upset and she was yelling and screaming at me and telling me how irresponsible I was and how I was so bad with money. And it wasn't until I started to do that work around money mindset that I realized I had buried that memory so deeply that it was actually affecting the way that I viewed money in the present.
Yeah.
And until you come to that, and I dug it out, I thought, oh my God, that's why I've been avoiding certain things and not paying attention to certain things. And it was a real eye opener for me. And if you don't acknowledge this, and if you don't ferret them out and dig them out and bring these beliefs, these limiting money beliefs out, then you're not going to make the type of money in your business that you want to make.
Yeah.
Simply not going to make it. Yeah. Because what you've done is that you force yourself to limit your abundance, to limit what the universe can bring to you. Mm-hmm. So that's why the first thing you want to do, if you want to play at a bigger level, get your money mindset in order first.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I remember reading and listening to the audiobook, The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles. That was like one of the
great
very first sort of money mindset things that I had been exposed to back in like 2013.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh, okay. So I have to do this, because I was never taught about money. I was never taught how to make it. I was never taught what to do with it. I was we are not taught how to think about it. It just happens upon us from examples like you just mentioned, you know, and therefore that frames our relationship to money. But like anything else, we can change that if we choose
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And not only to just to tell you that the wider society, the other beliefs that other people have about money, the things that you see, the movies that you watch, the lessons that you learn, you'll file those away as well. Oh, he was such a mean person. Yeah. Look at Jordan Belcher, how he milked people of money, or Bernie Madoff. Yes. Money's a bad thing. When people get rich, and then even those things play in your mind. So you've got to really work on that.
Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah. And one of the other things that you had mentioned was so important, which is something I do. And I was just talking about this yesterday. And, you know, you were mentioning about affirmations. And I was saying to my clients, I've brainwashed myself. Like, I've had to brainwash myself with certain mantras, affirmations, whatever you want to call them, because they replace the other thoughts.
Absolutely.
Right? And so to be cognizant of your thoughts is so important. So mm-hmm. like for me, the one that I'm currently, you know, brainwashing myself around is massive success can feel easy. Because
yes,
for so long, one. I was like hustling and grinding, and now my business is at a place where like, it's pretty self-operating, you know,
good.
Like it's pretty self-operating. So, but it's that upper limiting belief of like, well, it should feel hard. It should always feel hard. Otherwise it's not deserving of it.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I didn't work hard enough for it.
Exactly.
I didn't pay the price for it.
Exactly.
Right. And you know, and I just love that that affirmation that you have, Lori. I think it's fantastic. And repeat it again. You said massive success is easy.
I used to put the word success, mm-hmm. but then that mm-hmm. didn't feel big enough. Like it didn't feel like I've already achieved success by any standard, you know, I was like massive success, like next level, like unheard of success,
right?
Can be easy.
Exactly.
Can be easy.
Exactly. And yeah. people don't even realize the reason why affirmations are so important is that 75%, we all talk to ourselves. We absolutely do. The only thing time you have to be worried is when you answer back, but
yeah.
we all talk to ourselves. The problem is that 75% of the time it's negative. Oh, my thighs are too fat. Oh, my hair looks like this, my eyes or whatever. And then you make up you don't even realize that it's negative. So what you have to do is these affirmations are absolutely vital. It's called a daily renewal of your mind. You have to renew your mindset and okay. where you're going to go for that particular day. So I do my affirmations absolutely around my business, around my finances, around, you know, just me getting things done. Mm-hmm. So do that for yourself, because it is when you're talking about motivating yourself and there's also something about speaking those words out. You realize that we're the only animals on this planet who has the power of words.
Right.
We're the only ones, and words are powerful. And yeah. so you have to be able to hear yourself say it. You have to then, and then it sinks in, and then you start to believe it.
Yeah.
And then you act accordingly. And then you put something out there in the universe, and that's how we drive ourselves up to that bigger game that we're talking about.
Yeah. And I love that. And it's retraining. That's why I say I'm brainwashing myself. Like I'm retraining my mind.
Yes.
Because no one trained me to believe that massive success was easy or simple yeah. or that I could achieve it.
That's right.
Right?
That's
nobody, right. Nobody told me that that was a thing. And so, you know, replacing the previous beliefs with the new ones is a practice, is a daily practice. And I mean, I know my business is reflective of the way that I think and the way that I feel. Right.
Exactly.
And so it's really important. Well, thank you for this conversation. You threw out so many amazing book references, first of all, and so many helpful, actionable nuggets. I love it. Where can people go to learn more about you, your summit, all that good stuff?
Absolutely. Well, ShereenClark.com, Shereen Clark, and Shereen is S-H-E-R-I-N-E, and Clark with an E, C-L-A-R-K-E.com. And that's my website. You can also reach me on all the socials, of course, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is probably the best way for people to connect with me. And also the Path to Partnership Lawyer Summit, and it's just lawyersummit.com. And it is a summit for lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
And the personal skills they need to be successful.
That's a good domain that you got there.
Yes, I know. I was really happy that I got it.
Yeah.
Very happy. I grabbed that really quickly.
Yep, totally. Well, thank you so much for this.
To thank you, Lori.
Listening, what I want you to do is take one strategy and just start to apply one thing today. Because it's one at a time, you know, it's not an all or nothing thing. This is like Shereen said, you know, there's no sort of I've hit success. It's a journey. And so these tools that she shared are super applicable throughout the journey. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk again soon.